Home, home on the range. Yes, folks, it's your peripatetic presenter, John Derbyshire here, fresh from a jaunt out west. Boy, what a lot of empty space there is out there. Rest area 3 miles ahead, said the sign on I-90 out of Missoula. Next rest area, 138 miles. You just don't see that kind of thing on Long Island. Of course, big, wide, empty spaces like that offend the administration, who are working hard to fill them up with illegal immigrants. If administration plans succeed, pretty soon Montana will look like New Jersey, and New Jersey will look like Singapore. Hey, it's all in the interest of diversity, so who could possibly complain? Come on in, everybody, there's plenty of room. Okay, here's your weekly radio derb with some snippets from the news. The new season of the reality TV show Survivor is going to be organised around racial classifications. Never having watched Survivor, I had to look it up on Wikipedia. The description is as follows, quote, "At least 16 strangers are stranded in a remote location and divided into equally sized teams, called tribes. They compete against each other in competitions called challenges." End quote. This year's remote location is to be the Cook Islands in the South Pacific, and apparently there's going to be a white tribe, a black tribe, a Latino tribe, and an Asian tribe. What a concept. Of course, we all know how it'll turn out. First thing the white tribe will do is to give affirmative action to the other three groups so they don't have to work so hard to win. Then they'll open the borders of their island so the Latinos can come in and do the chores for them. The blacks will start by forming an association of black islanders, which will busy itself with complaining that the show's challenges are biased against minorities. The Asians will mass-produce tremendous quantities of cheap goods and flood the other three islands with them, the aim being to keep the other contestants busy buying stuff while the Asians concentrate on finding a violin teacher for their kids. Here's a little game, listeners. See if you can match the descriptions to the names. Description 1. An undersized egomaniac practicing a peculiar minority religion that he believes will conquer the world one day. Description 2. An undersized egomaniac practicing a peculiar minority religion that he believes will conquer the world one day. Got those? Now, here are the names you have to match to the descriptions. A. Mahmoud Ahmadinejad. B. Tom Cruise. Can you match the descriptions to the names? Go on, try. Of course, I'm just spoofing here. There actually are some differences between the poison dwarf of Tehran and the couch jumper of L.A. For one thing, Ahmadinejad still has a job. If President Ahmadinejad does get the boot, and assuming he survives the experience, which is by no means a sure thing in his neck of the woods, he might want to consider heading off somewhere for a little R&R. You know, find a nice secluded beach someplace where he can kick off his shoes and wind down with a few chilled drinks and a couple of cigars and some beach reading. You know, perhaps Protocols of the Elders of Zion, something like that. Well, where should Ahmadinejad go? The further the better, surely. I suggest the asteroid Ceres, which has an orbit between those of Mars and Jupiter. Ceres has recently been upgraded from asteroid to dwarf planet. So it sounds like just the place for Mahmoud. Two other bodies in the solar system got upgraded at the same time. Pluto's moon Charon, and a remote object known by the mysterious and evocative name 2003 UB313. Counting dwarf planets as planets, we have thus gone from the 9 that you learned in school up to 12. The old mnemonic, "My very educated mother just served us 9 pizzas," won't work anymore. We need a new one. Ever ready to respond to the call of public service, I humbly offer the following. Mahmood, violent extremist midget, cheers jihadi suicides. UN people cheer, too. I see that a fellow has been arrested for the murder of JonBenet Ramsey 10 years ago. Of course, we don't yet know if this chap did the crime. He sure seems wacky enough to have done it. Unfortunately, he also seems wacky enough to have confessed to a crime he didn't do. And the stories he's been telling so far leak like sieves. Wacky hardly covers this guy, in fact. According to the New York Post, he is totally obsessed with celebrity culture. Quote, "He often described in minute detail aspects of celebrities' lives and seemed particularly fixated on Sonny and Cher." End quote. Sonny and Cher? Wacky doesn't come any wackier than that. Except perhaps in the case of parents who train a 6-year-old girl to pose, strut, sashay and flounce like an adult beauty queen. What would Radio Derb be without a song? Here is a birthday song for the Big Bubba, who turned 60 the other day. Happy birthday, dear Bill. Now you're over the hill. Lefty boomers still love you, and they're missing you still. But we righties still think you belong in the clink. By your lies under oath, you made the presidency stink. Well, that's all in the past. Now you're having a blast. No more probes or inquiries. You're a free man at last. News from the art world. At a gallery in Cornwall, England, young artist Kira O'Reilly is staging a performance piece in which she sits or lies, stark naked, cradling a dead pig for 4 hours. Apparently this is highly therapeutic for the artist. On the gallery's website, Ms. O'Reilly, who, so far as I know, is not related to any populist Fox News presenter, enthuses that, quote, "The work left me with an undercurrent of pigginess, unexpected fantasies of mergence and interspecies metamorphoses began to flicker into my consciousness." End quote. What's flickering into my consciousness just now is the thought that if people are paying good money to see Ms. O'Reilly embrace her pig, or ex-pig, then Western Civ is on the way out. But perhaps that's just an undercurrent of pigginess in me. PETA has launched a protest, of course, though since the animal is already dead when Ms. O'Reilly embraces it, I don't know what the grounds of their complaint are. Perhaps they're just trying to hog the limelight. You know, I'm starting to warm to this new Pope, Benedict XVI. In the Sunday address from his country house last week, Benedict warned the faithful that too much work can be bad for you. To buttress his case, he quoted from the works of a 12th century divine, Saint Bernard of Charaval. Quote, "We have to guard ourselves from the dangers of excessive activity. because too many concerns can often lead to hardness of heart. End quote. Well, far be it from me to argue with a pope and a saint. I'm going to go lie down and watch some TV before my heart starts to harden. As the late great Ronald Reagan was wont to observe, they say hard work never killed anybody, but I figure, why take a chance? Okay, off I go to guard myself from the dangers of excessive activity, as per the Pope's advice, and before the battery in my Dell laptop explodes. Tune in again next week for more wit, wisdom, and wackiness from Radio Derb. Here's Franz Josef Haydn to see us out.